Welcome to another inspirational message from Pastor Ron Hammonds, Senior Pastor of Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
We're going to be going today to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 7 as we continue this theme of encouraging you to be a student of Jesus Christ. We do not get to determine what we go through. How I wish we did. But we do get to decide how we're going to go through it. And what we need is a goal, is a picture of what we want. If you could have anything you want on a good day, not anything you want on a bad day, okay? But anything you want on a good day, if you could paint a picture and imagine what would be the absolute best that God could do. What would be the best? Get a picture, get a vision, get a hope, and hold on to that hope. And if you'll hold on and not allow yourself to get farther away, to stray from that, God's Word will feed into His will for your life. As you continue in His Word, it will build a strength in you. It will build a hope in you. It will build a dream in you. And things will, in time, if you'll give God time and opportunity, things will work out. God will work things out. He'll work behind the scenes. He will help you through trouble and tragedy and pain and problems. He will restore things that you thought were completely, exempt from restoration. He will, and He will help you get through things. There are tests in life that we face, and He will help you get through every test. There are only two things you need to pass any test. Only two things that you need. Number one, you need to know the right answer. And number two, you need to apply that answer to the test. If you will do those two things, then, if you know the right answer, and then if you will apply the right answer, you will find yourself walking with God. You'll find peace even in the midst of tragedy. You will find comfort in front of your enemies, and God will prepare a table before you, and in the presence of those things that once would have robbed your joy and robbed your peace, you'll find yourself with a different outlook on life, knowing the right answer and then applying that answer. You'll find the right answer in here. You'll find God will highlight the answer to your situation. He will highlight it. If you're hurting, He will highlight the answer so that your pain won't overwhelm you. It won't always overwhelm you. Grief is real. Jesus wept. He wept so hard that people around Him imagined that His heart was broken. Well, today, as I said, we'll be in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be talking about one day at a time. One day at a time. All right. Doesn't this sound like a 12-step program? Oh, the ones that laughed know what I'm talking about. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. My dad was a member of AA, and so we kept that one day at a time really close to us. In fact, I have his books from AA, and I still look through them occasionally. Listen, it works. Well, it's a biblical principle. Let's take a look at the life of Jesus for a moment. When Jesus was about 30 years old, He left His hometown of Nazareth, and He moved about 15 to 18 miles down to the Sea of Galilee to the city called Capernaum. Now, this is where Jesus began His public ministry. He, as I said, He was about 30 years of age. It was traditional in that culture that at 30 years old you were kind of set free to pursue whatever you wanted to pursue as your own profession. And so Jesus wanted to be a Bible teacher. Did you know that? That's what Jesus wanted to be. That's what he was. That's how other people knew Jesus. He was a Bible teacher, and he had some people that would come to his classes. And as they continued to come to his classes, they were called disciples. Jesus' disciples, the students of Jesus. That's what that means. They were the learners of Jesus. They were followers of Jesus. And Jesus had disciples. And then there were a lot of people that would come to his Bible classes. A lot of people would come to his Bible teachings. And just like the scripture said, you know, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 69, as well as the Bible tells us that the disciples in Luke chapter 4 also understood that Jesus had a passion. He had a desire. He had a zeal, is what the psalmist called it. A zeal for the house of God. What does that mean? That means that Jesus loved church. He loved to come together with other people in the house of God and worship, and he loved to preach, he loved to teach, he loved to listen. He just loved church. And so that's what the psalmist said, and as well, you know, all of the disciples agreed in John chapter 2. You can read about it, that when Jesus cleansed the temple, the disciple says, oh, that's what the Psalms meant. The zeal for the house of God has consumed me. And Jesus said, you know, this house, my Father's house, shall be called a house of prayer. Well, he really loved it. He loved the house of God. And the Bible tells us that every Sabbath, every Saturday, they had Saturday church. Every Sabbath, Jesus was found in the synagogue, in the temple. Wherever he was, he went to church. Now, I know I'm not talking about church attendance this morning, but let me congratulate you, because the only people that are listening to me are the people that are here. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Either on campus or online, you're at church. One of the reasons why I don't ever preach about church attendance is I'm talking to the wrong crowd. Hello, that's supposed to be funny. I'm talking to the wrong, if I'm preaching about church attendance, I'm talking to the wrong people, because you're here. I need to go out on the streets and talk about church attendance, right? No, okay, never mind. You didn't get that as funny as I saw it in my head. But so Jesus loved church, but what did he do on the other weekdays? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus was also committed to helping people everywhere he went. And so what Jesus would do is he would go to church on Saturdays, but then all during the week, every day of the week, you found Jesus out trying to help somebody, trying to find somebody to help, somebody to teach the Word of God. He was a Bible teacher. He was looking for people to help. He was looking for people to educate. He was looking for people. He would get up early in the morning, the Bible tells us, and he would go out and pray, and then he would be busy about his Father's work. He would be teaching people the Bible. He would be teaching people what God wanted, what God expected, how God would help them, how much God loved them, how much God cared about them. You know, he would walk from town to town and looking for an individual or a group of people. And along the way, he was always helping people. He was feeding people. He was doing, you know, all these things. And he looked for people in need. He looked for people who needed food. He looked for people who needed encouragement. He looked for people who were looking for an answer, or that someone in their family was sick. He was always looking for the next person to help. He was busy. That's what his life was like. In fact, in Matthew 4:23 and also Matthew 9:35, both of them say the same thing about Jesus. It says that Jesus went about all the cities and villages of Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he was healing every type of disease, every type of sickness, and all kinds of diseases among the people. He was teaching and preaching and healing, and he went about all the cities and villages. This is what he did. He would get up early in the morning, go and pray, and then he would go out to see who he could help and to see who he could teach about the Bible. And his students would follow him. His followers would go along with him. This was his everyday, and this was all that Jesus wanted to do. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus just wanted to be a teacher? That's all he wanted to be. He wanted to be a teacher. Oh. He wanted to show the love of God to others. He wanted others to know that God cared. And if they had any immediate needs, he would address that immediate need. He would teach them how to be more godly. He would teach them how to be more productive. He would teach them how to live a better life, how to have better relationships. And he never, not one time, Jesus never left anybody worse off than when he found them. It's not that they always liked it, but he always gave them the best advice. He always gave them the best counsel. Not all of them would do it, but he never ever left them worse. If they would have only listened to him and done what he asked, every one of them would have been better off. That's amazing. When Jesus first began his public ministry, he gained a reputation as someone who cared and as someone who was able. He didn't just care, he was able to help. If somebody had a need, if they were sick, he could heal them. If they were hungry, he could feed them. He blessed the poor. He loved the children. He was a perfect example of what God wanted. And except for the people who didn't like him, except for those who were jealous, except for those who had an agenda that they wanted to promote, above God's agenda, everybody loved him. You know, so many people flocked to him. They loved him. They, you know, in fact, one day there was a large group of people gathered on a hillside just close to Capernaum. This is a hillside that some of you have been with me. You've been with me on the Mount of Beatitudes, just on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. We sat on this same hill that Jesus went up on the side of this hill so that the wind that was blowing could carry his words up that little hillside and people could hear him better, because as we understand, there were perhaps thousands of people that had gathered together to listen to a sermon that Jesus was going to preach. And I would encourage you to read this whole sermon. It's Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7, okay? And this is the longest sermon, I believe, that Jesus preached in one sitting. And so here, as he talked to these, you know, hundreds or thousands of people, he was giving them the word for their life. And today, we're going to focus our attention on the last few verses of the sermon that Jesus preached to these people. Now, let me go back and set this stage one more time. The only thing that Jesus wanted to do was to teach people about the love and the goodness of God. Jesus was a Bible teacher. The students that followed Jesus were called disciples. And Jesus went from city to city, teaching, preaching, and healing. And now we see Jesus, a Bible teacher, up on a hillside just north of the Sea of Galilee. And there are hundreds, perhaps thousands, ready to listen to him. It's like being in church outside. So in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 12 from the last few verses of this long sermon that Jesus preached. Matthew 7, verse 12 from the New King James Version. Jesus said, "Therefore, Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now remember, Jesus is trying to teach them about a loving God that cares for them. He's trying to help them be more godly. He's trying to help them deal with problems that he knows they are facing in life. And so he tells them, listen, it's very important as he's concluding this sermon that you treat other people the way that you want them to treat you, the way you want to be treated. He goes on, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, he says. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. He said there is a broad way. There is a way that says, there is a philosophy that says anything goes. There is a philosophy that says, this is my truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. There is a philosophy that says that the way is broad. But Jesus, in trying to help these people, and as I said, he never left anyone worse off. He never gave bad advice. If people would have done what he asked, they would all have been better. And the only people that did not like Jesus and follow Jesus were people that had their own agenda, or else people who were jealous, or people who were selfish and did not want him speaking into their lives. But he's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He loves people. He's giving them good counsel. And he says to them, you should treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, that alone would change some people's whole approach to life. That alone should be a boundary that we set up in our lives, that we are not going to treat people like in a way that we don't want to be treated. If we don't like being fussed at or cussed at, then we're not going to fuss and cuss at others. Especially those that are close to us, in our own homes, in our own jobs, that we're going to treat other people the way we want to be treated, because we should enter into this narrow way. The way is narrow that leads to life. The anything goes road leads to destruction. Verse 14. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there be few that find it. Listen, the way to life can be hard. It is simple, but it's not easy. Success is simple, but it's not easy. Rustin and Leanne, I gave them this word numbers of times. It's really simple what you need to do, but I know it's not easy. It's simple to forgive, but it's not easy. It's simple to treat people the way you want to be treated, but it's not easy. It's simple. Success is simple, but it's not easy. And that's the reason that only a few people make it. That's the reason that not everyone makes it. Because it is difficult, Jesus said. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life and joy and peace and happiness and forgiveness and wholeness and soundness. It's not easy, and there are few who find it. He said in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Beware of people that tell you something different. When people tell you you're not going to have any problems, listen, they're like they said, I'm not sure who it was, but someone said in some movie, they're trying to sell you something. Beware of people trying to sell you something. Okay? Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They might look like a sheep, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. How do you know them? You'll know them by their fruits. Step back and look at a person and say to yourself, do I want to be like them? You know, Do I want to end up with their testimony? Then if not, don't follow. Hello? When you find someone that you want to end up like them, follow them. When you find someone that you believe has done it right, follow them. False prophets, you'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You know, do you get good advice from work, from the guy, or from the woman who is a failure in life? Are they really your counselors? Do you get good advice off of YouTube from somebody to build a cabinet when you look at the cabinet they built and it barely is standing? Would you take their advice? Would you take advice from a mechanic that can't even fix his own car? Beware of people who present themselves in one way, but it's not going to end up that way. It doesn't. You see, you'll know them by their fruits. You don't gather edible fruit from plants that don't produce edible fruits. Verse 17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree, bad fruit. Jesus continues. He's just giving good advice. He's doing his best to help people. He is the Son of God, and he's right in his element. He loves teaching the Bible. He loves teaching truth. It's all he wants to do. It's what he does with his every day. He goes to church and he participates in church. He loves church. He's zealous for church. But what he does on his Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are the heart of his ministry. And that's where the rubber meets the road in our lives as well. I know that you love church. You're here. You love church, you love worship, you love listening, you love participating, you love being an usher, you love being a greeter, you love working the coffee bar, you know, sound, musicians, you know, camera people, you know, Sunday school teachers. You love church, but it's what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's who you are. Jesus was someone looking for someone to help. He was looking for the next need. He was looking for the next opportunity to share a truth of God's love and God's goodness. You know, he didn't hurt people. You know, not everyone agreed with him. But if they would have, they'd have been better off. He said, verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We know he's talking about an eternal message. He often puts eternal messages in his sermons, things that were so marvelous. And what he's talking about here is the end time, is the last days. It's likened to going through your vineyard and finding plants that are not productive or not good, that are not bearing good fruit, and weeds, and you cut those out. You know, we also need to cut those weeds out of our life, but he's giving us a glimpse of the future. And he says in verse 20, therefore by their fruits you will know them. And may I also say, by your fruit you are known. Verse 21, he continues in this same theme. He says, not everyone, he's talking about false prophets, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, you were an impostor. You know, I never knew you. That was not the real you. You did that for show. That's not the real you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, who go through life without any conscious consideration of who I am, of what you should do. Therefore, verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about the foundation of God's Word and God's will, that when we build our house on the foundation of God's Word and God's will, that our house will stand. He did not say, if you'll build your house on the rock, the floods will not come. He did not say, if you will build your house on the rock, the rains will not come. He did not say, if you will build your house on the rock, you'll never have any more trouble. He didn't say that. He did say it won't fall. He did say that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He did say that I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He did say, if you'll build your house on a solid foundation, if you'll build your life on the Word of God and the will of God, then you will stand in the days of adversity. You will stand through the tribulation and the times of testing and trials. That's what he said. Because, you know, as much as I love Rustin and Leanne, I'm using you as my object lesson today. I can't tell them they're never going to have any more trouble. I can only tell them that if you'll keep your house on the rock, you'll stand in the day of trouble. You will not fall. That's the promise of God. But it's all contingent upon us continuing in His Word. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. You know, Jesus was not trying to make us afraid. That was never his goal. In all of the passages that he shares, those that seem so alarming, not one time was it ever his goal to make us afraid. Not one time was it ever his goal to put us in an irrecoverable place. It's always his goal to show us how to get out of the holes of life. And how, whenever tribulation and trial and testings and tragedy seems to come upon us and tries to take us into a dark place, that we can trust that our house is built upon a rock, it will stand, that no devil in hell. We cannot allow, as Leanne said, the enemies to get bigger in our mind than God is. God is greater than all of our enemies, all of our problems, all of our concerns. God is greater. Verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings. For he taught them as one having authority. He didn't just teach them like a normal Bible teacher, like one of the scribes. You know, well, this morning, I have no greater wisdom to share with you than to encourage you to listen to the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus are just as powerful today as they were 2,000 years ago on that hillside. I'm going to ask those of you that are listening, and those of you that are here, and those that, you know, wherever you may be, I'm going to ask you to do something dangerous for a moment. I'm going to ask you to let your guard down. I'm going to ask you to just take a deep breath and let your guard down and let Jesus in. What would it be like if Jesus was in control of your life? I'm going to ask you to let your guard down and let Jesus in with gladness. Come, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Come into my mind. Come into my marriage. Come into my money. Come into my job. Come, Lord Jesus, let your guard down. What you're afraid of is an enemy. Don't be deceived into thinking that some other way is the way. Jesus has joy for you, even in the midst of your trauma. Jesus has peace for you, even in the midst of war. He can help. Let your guard down. Jesus has no other agenda than to make your life better. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but it does mean it'll be better. And it's simple, isn't it simple? It's just not easy. But Jesus wants to save you from an eternity in hell, and he also wants to help you to get through the hell of this life victoriously. And he can and he will. Let me sum up today as we close. This is what I took from the Word, because, you know, as I study the Word, I preach this quite a number of times to myself. And then I want to, you know, answer the question, what is it? You know, what is my takeaway? What did I get from what God shared with me? And so here are my takeaways. Number one, I'm committing today. I am going to treat others the way I want to be treated. Now, I'm going to do my level best. Okay? I'm going to tell myself and talk to myself. Because in pressured situations, you know, sometimes, you know, waiting in fast food line or whenever you get your food and it's not what you ordered, you know, I'm still going to treat people the way I want to be treated. Okay? Number two, the broad way. The anything goes road. The broad anything goes road leads to destruction. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to embrace the reality. I'm going to trust Jesus. And I'm going to realize that not everything works. Okay? There's a narrow way. It may not be easy, but it works. The anything goes road leads to destruction. I don't want to end up in destruction. Therefore, I'm going to have to establish boundaries for my life. But not only that, I'm going to need to encourage other people that I love and care about, you know, to establish some boundaries in their life, because not anything goes. Number three, you know, I'm going to remind myself, and let me remind you right now, that we are not judges. But we are fruit inspectors. Okay? You know, we're not judges. Don't be judgmental and don't be critical. But definitely inspect the fruit. Okay? Inspect the fruit in your own life. Simply say to yourself, is what I'm doing working? If it's not, let's change it. I mean, this is not rocket science. Okay? Go to God. You know, find a friend, a counselor, you know, a social worker, a pastor that, you know, has the Word of God, has the answers to life. They believe in Jesus and they can help. Look at their lives, look at their fruit. Find someone that you can follow. Of course, the main one is Jesus. You know, we're not judges, but we are fruit inspectors. Not every influencer on social media has earned that right. It's dangerous to follow influencers when they're false prophets leading to hell, leading to destruction. So some of you need to become influencers. Number four, build your house on the rock. Build your house on the solid foundation, because I want you to know the rains are coming. The wind is going to blow. The floods, you know, will come. If you're built on a rock, you won't fall. You'll stand. You'll stand. Listen to Jesus and do what he says. For a man who hears my sayings and does them will be just like a person that's building their house on the rock. And the last thing I'll say today is that it's simple, but it's not easy. Don't mistake hard for no good. And don't mistake easy for right. Do you think that you can please Jesus for 1 hour? Do you think if you really tried, you could do it for 1 hour? Anybody? Anybody here? Watching online? Do you imagine that if you really tried, you could please Jesus for 1 hour? I think I could. I think if I really tried. Bragg, I think you could do it if you really tried. Okay? Zach, might be tough, but you could do this. Okay? It's not easy, but it is simple. Richie, 1 hour. Could you do 1 hour, Richie? 1 hour. Yeah. 1 hour? Okay. If you think that you could please Jesus for 1 hour, and I think you can, then I want you to try it for this next hour once you leave here. Okay? When you leave here, I want you to try. Just say, I'm going to please Jesus for 1 hour. Okay? Let's say until 1 o'clock. I'm going to please Jesus until 1 p.m. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anyone else does, if they get my order right or they don't get my order right or somebody cuts me off in traffic, whatever the situation is, I am going to please Jesus for 1 hour. And then when it comes 1 o'clock, make that commitment again. Hello? If the best you can do is 1 hour at a time, if the best you can do is one decision at a time, if the best you can do is one day at a time, you can make it. You can make it. All right, we're going to start this hour. It is 4 minutes until 12 right now. Okay? Do I need to wait till noon? Or can you make it to 1? Okay, you can make it to 1? Okay, let's pray. You pray. I'm going to pray. You pray. And let's commit to 1 hour. Okay? Let's ask Jesus into our life in such a way that we can make for 1 hour. And it's only 1 hour and 3 minutes now. You ready? Okay. God, we commit today, Lord. We've heard what you said. We commit today, Lord. God, if we're just starting with treating other people the way we want to be treated, Lord, we're going to do our very best, Lord, to please you in what we do and what we say and what we decide, Lord, until 1 o'clock today, Lord. Lord, we're going to do our very best, Lord, until 1 o'clock Texas time, whatever time it is in anybody else's world, Lord, for 1 hour, Lord, we are going to please you, Lord. Help us, God. Speak to us, Lord. It's our commitment. Jesus, come into our heart, our life, our mind, our situations, our circumstances. We know it's not going to be easy, but success is very simple. And our success is to build our house upon a rock, Lord. We're not going to make things worse, Lord. And today is not the day we're going to fail you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Holy Spirit, remind us. We give you this hour of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for another encouraging word from Pastor Ron Hammonds. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastor and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.